Welcome to the Retail Tech Podcast. Today, I'm speaking with Chris Updam, CEO of a company called Bettyblox. Chris is talking with me from Netherlands. Bettyblox and Chris have been changing the world with the concept of no code, which is very interesting, and I wanted to learn more about it. So, hi, Chris. Thank you so much for joining me.
Yes, thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
In your own words, if you can describe what is Bettyblox and the concept of no code or low code.
Yeah, sure. Bettyblox is an application development platform where we enable a new breed of application developers to build applications in the cloud without the need to learn a programming language. And that's, of course, the reason why we're called no code. What we're trying to do is to change the typical profile of a developer. It's becoming more and more important for each type of company, and every company is becoming more and more an IT company as well. So what we try to do is democratize software development by removing the need to learn a programming language. And what we do is we offer software development by visual modeling. So you can drag and drop a UI, you can drag and drop a flow behind that UI, and integrate with other systems in a no-code manner as well. You mentioned the no and slash low-code space. And this is what Gartner calls the high productivity space as well, the HP APaaS world, and that is split into no and low-code. There are a lot of innovations happening right now. With low-code, you are still able to do development, with the up and down sides that brings with it. So you're still able to do coding, and with no code, there's no need to learn a programming language at all anymore.
Okay, so is that basically like a platform differentiation between low code and no code? I mean, is it? To me, it sounds very similar and very close to each other as a business person. But is there really like that big of a difference technically between the two?
Of course, we are the same type of platforms. But the difference is who is using the platform. What you see with low-code platforms is they are typically used by experienced developers. So let's say you are a .NET developer, you use a low-code .NET development platform, and with that, you speed up your own development. With no code, you change the type of person that is doing the development from a technical person to a more business-oriented person. But then again, we are still both application development platforms, so we are very much similar, but there are some big differences on the other end as well.
Okay, and I think what you also refer to the no-code user as a citizen user, right? Or a citizen developer, is that the term that's being used?
Yeah, that's what you see more and more. What Gartner calls is shadow IT, that is most of the time created by people who are in the business side of an organization. They have a need for a specific type of software, and everybody knows that IT departments are often very busy. They don't have the time or budget to create smaller applications, but the business side still has the need for that application. So what often happens is that they develop applications themselves, or they look for software outside the view of the IT department, and with that creating shadow IT. But if you enable that same person with a no-code platform under the control of an IT department, we call the same person a citizen developer. So that is a business-oriented developer who is able to build applications under the control of the IT department. And that's a new breed of developers. And it's a topic that has been on a lot of IT managers and CIOs' minds. And we are that's a topic that we are addressing as well.
Okay. So, I mean, if it is really possible to create a working application by just dragging and dropping things, is that even like, is it even development work?
We still call it development work, because although the difficult technical parts have been removed out of the creation of an application, you still need to develop and design a good application. And as it's more popular to say, if you give the fool a tool, it's still a fool. And same goes with no code or low code platforms as well. So you need to have familiarity with application development, or at least need to know how a proper application should look like. So it is a misconception that it is targeted at, let's say, consumer, at the consumer end, that everybody who knows how to control a computer is able to build an application. But it's more for that citizen developer who is familiar with creating applications based on Microsoft Access, or who is that business person inside a marketing department who knows how to build a website using WordPress. And there are a lot of people inside organizations who have a very a technical or a very technical savvy, and they are able to develop an application with a no-code platform.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, so it sounds like almost like product managers would be a good user for this technology. Does that?
Yeah, right? And what we see happening is that that organizations set up multidisciplinary teams who are using a no-code platform like BettyBlocks. So there could be somebody who is more the interaction designer, somebody who is just a citizen developer who is the business-oriented guy. And on the other hand, you can have the more a product manager, but also a business analyst or architects on the IT side. And same goes with front-end developers as well. If you look at a more technical purpose of the application platform, front-end developers are very familiar using front-end frameworks, but they always need a back-end developer to create an application. Right. And with platforms like ours, no platform like BettyBlocks, that same front-end developer is able to do to build complex application himself without the need for back-end developers as well. So it's from one end citizen development, and on the other end it's experienced developers as well. So we try to facilitate both.
Okay. Now, a little bit background on BettyBlocks. When did the company start, and what led you to actually think about this concept and actually get this company started, and you know, how did it get to this point?
Yeah, so I started my first company straight out of school together with my brother Tim, and when that company grew, I was the developer and my brother was the more business or a business type of person, and he was trying to create our internal software systems, our administrative systems and stuff like that. But he always needed me as a developer to help him develop that application. But he knew how the business processes worked, and he wanted to do that himself. So during that phase, we created the first versions of BettyBlocks, because we wanted to give Tim, my brother, a tool where he will be able to automate and create more automated processes based on a no-code or an automation flow without the need to learn that the program language, because he wasn't a developer.
Like self-service.
And out of that, BettyBlocks arised.
You know, when developers build applications that only do one thing, I call them single use case applications. The acronyms are SUC, like applications that suck. they do only one thing. So. This is basically where you make the application so flexible that it can be used in multiple different areas or ways. So how does the architecture actually work? Is it like something like microservices where you can get really granular like functionality and merge them together? How can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes, of course. We have three basic concepts in our platform. One of them is, of course, the UI, where you can visually create a UI by dragging and dropping, either doing that for a mobile environment, so a native look and feel application on mobile iOS or Android. And on the other end, you can create web-based portals in all different shapes and sizes. On the other end, we have what we call data models, where you can store application data in. And the third one is what we call actions. So if you click on a button in your UI somewhere, you want a flow to start or an action to start, and you can visually model that as well. So that is if you create one simple application. But if you create a bigger application, you can split that application into different services. It's not the same setup as with microservices, because we are a no-code platform. But when you look at it in an architectural point of view, it's still the same type of setup. You can split several applications, one application to several applications, and make sure that one application has a special purpose to it. But most of our applications don't have that setup. They are meant to create applications in a very rapid way and in a very flexible way. Mostly people think that it's all about creating that first application fast, but what actually is the case is to change the entire organization or company into a more agile-oriented a company, to make sure that you can not only create the first application fast, but to modify it fast as well. Because what is often misunderstood is that application development is about creating that first version, but the actual success of an application inside an organization is probably the fourth or fifth version of an application, and that's where we optimize that platform in as well. Okay. So you can use for different setups.
From my experience, the bigger challenge in creating a robust application, really not even the technology, it's the organizational structure. That's like one of the major things. Even in microservices, the organization is the first thing that needs to change. So it sounds like you're working with the same concept.
Yeah, that's totally in line with our proposition as well. So we have split our company into a couple of propositions where people can align our platform with. And one of them is what we call our innovation street. A lot of companies lack innovative power. And what we try to do with Betty Blocks is help them become more innovative by offering them a way of work and a playbook where you can implement a more innovative structure inside your organization. So that is not about technology, not about software development from a technical point of view, but more organizing your company and finding a way to develop that innovative piece of software. And just like you mentioned, that's more an organizational thing other than a software development thing. But of course, our platform is optimized to facilitate a process like that.
The line of thinking of software developers and how software has actually positioned itself inside the organizations, I think really needs to change fundamentally. When I talk to an engineering team, and I say, this tool really needs to be self-service so the marketing person can do whatever they want themselves. And when I hear the question as to why, that's like a red flag for me. Like, you know, a developer should not be asking why their tool should be self-service. Their question should be, how do I make it self-service without even thinking that it is, you know, there is any other option.
I totally agree with what you're saying, and I recognize that a lot as well. It's the same with how software developers and software development are approached. It has been too much and too often been all about the technology part, where at the end it's about solving a problem or making sure your organization works better in a specific way. And that's why we are a no-code platform on purpose, because we want to remove the technology out of IT and make sure that it's all about creating success, creating innovative products, and being disruptive, of course, and that not necessarily needs to be all about coding and technology that much.
How do you actually measure the ROI a client actually wants to start using a platform such as, Betty Blocks? How do you measure that? Do you say that your developers or this group of developers, they take a week to do something, and with Betty Blocks, it's going to take them a day to do it? Or how does that work?
Yeah, that's one of the ways to approach that. We have done quite a lot of comparisons to traditional development, as we call it. So we had one comparison to Java development, a modern day Java development, where we build an application in Betty Blocks, and we had another team building an application in Java. And we were 8 times faster than that Java team. So that's a very easy way to create an ROI, of course, because you save yourself a lot of time, and with that budget as well. But another way to calculate the ROI is also about time to market as well. So it's not only about reducing costs, but also being earlier to the market than others and being more flexible as well. So when you look at new products that are being released, if you're able to push out a new version, let's say every 2 weeks, the ROI is, of course, in more usage at your platform, more usage at your product, at the end product built with BettyBlox. And for us, that's a more important ROI than the actual, let's say, cost saving that we're able to do.
As you work with different companies all over the world, are you finding that this works better for certain industries than others?
I think there are characteristics that you can see within sectors where no-code platforms work better. When you look at, let's say, bigger companies, the larger corporates, they are finding it harder, of course, to innovate. When you have a small and already very flexible organization, they most of the time have small development teams which are very well organized. They have a lesser fit at our end sometimes. We have a great fit with organizations who have a bigger step to take when looking at innovation and looking at software development. So when you look at the different sectors out there, I guess there are some differences to it as well. But not necessarily at sector level, but more the type of sector it is, I guess.
So the larger corporations, organizations have a bigger pain. That's why it,
you know, that's correct.
Something like this, no-code, actually relieves that pain much more measurably. Smaller corporation, which is more agile. Probably a difference between waterfall and agile development. Is that also a factor in how successful they are in using no-code?
Yeah, it's very important to not only adapt a no-code platform like BettyBlox, but also to make sure you have a modern-day approach to software development as well. And we help our clients and organizations with that as well, because it's not only about the tooling. Like you said, there is a huge difference with organizations who approach software development more waterfall or more agile. And at the end, when you look at time to market, agile work ways are far more efficient in doing stuff like that.
As you talk about how the no-code software or platform work, I'm thinking, what is the future? You know, right now, AI is really becoming a lot more evolved, even voice. Do you see a time maybe in like 10 years where you talk to Alexa or Google Home or whatever in the office and, you know, you just say, build me this feature?
We are doing quite some research on implementing AI in the software development part. But I think there's a popular way, again, to put our expectations in that area as well. I think it goes something like that. We overestimate the changes that will happen to the world in the year 10, and we underestimate the smaller but more significant changes that we will undergo in the next 3 years or so. And I think that applies to software development as well. So actually telling Alexa to build a software application is probably not going to happen in that way. But we are using AI and starting to use AI more and more in smaller portions of that software. So, of course, pattern recognitions and other AI stuff is very important. So when testing software, AI could be very important. And we are working on that as well and on other parts as well. So I think it will be far more easier to implement stuff like voice and AI. We have a great set of features and services like that offered in our blog store, which is our application store. It means that you can just simply select the voice block, and you'll be able to use Amazon Alexa or other services without the need for coding. There are very big steps to take in that area before we have automated software development. But for some smaller pieces, that could definitely be the case. If that actually creates great UIs as well, that's probably too big of a step to take. I'm very curious which significant changes we will undergo in the next 3 years, because I guess those are sometimes a little bit harder to predict.
Can you talk about an example or a case study of one client that you worked with and how the whole implementation and the usage went?
One of our clients is a pan-European insurance company where they were struggling with their propositions. They had a big software development team, And they had an innovation manager as well. They outsourced all their software development to India. And what happened is that their product team, who was based in Europe, thinking and designing a lot of new products. They had great proof of concepts, wireframes and everything. And then the actual development started. And then it was a very traditional software development product again, with all the common problems that they had as well. So then we appeared on the stage, and what we changed in that is to create a real DevOps team and a real multidisciplinary team as well, together with our client, where they had a product manager, interaction designers, a lot of people from the business side as well, who actually designed and set the blueprints for the actual application. But there was an experienced IT guy in there as well. And so what they did is shifted the actual development part out of outsourcing and then introduced citizen development ship. And you would expect that to slow down the actual development because of course, with outsourcing, you have a lot of developers on your hands who are most of the time pretty cheap as well. And you would think that that would really speed up development. But what actually happened is that what we found out, the actual coding was really slowing the innovation down. And the actual coding wasn't the hardest part of creating that application. It was about creating a great UI and making sure you test that with your test audience as well. So the first version in the previous setup was more a paper UI a wireframe concept. So they just tested it out. But with Betty Blocks, they actually created the first version, which was a proof of concept, but it was a very clickable and usable demo as well. So within 2 to 4 weeks, they had an application built by non-developers, but they were actually able to use it with actual end users as well. So they could really test the product, and that really speed up development, and that product is still in use. And they have transferred that to the IT departments, and still a lot of business people are involved. But that showed us a very natural flow from creating a first version, but not throwing away the first version, but making sure you iterate through that phase and make sure that you create version after version. So that was an excellent case for us, proved to us that citizen development is something that could actually work as long as you make sure that your own IT department is involved as well. So we're very happy with that result. And we copied that through the last couple of years to a lot of other industries as well. So not only finance and fintech, but more in property management and healthcare as well in the government sector. We noticed that the same setup applies to almost every organization. So, and that's our typical no-code approach.
That's a great example. What was the organizational work involved in actually getting this completed? You know, we talked about the organization actually needing to change. Was that a part of what you did with this client?
Of course, the actual changing was all done by the organization itself. We more or less inspired them to change that. And what we noticed is that they really needed to have a mindset change. So the IT department need to radically change the approach of software development and innovation. It's not a project. It's a continuous process. You need to make sure that you work together in a very close and tight manner with a lot of people who have different disciplines as well. So that was one end. Was a very important mindset change. That changed the IT department from an organization that normally says, no, we can't, and yes, we can, which is a very common problem inside IT departments. They have too less budget, not enough resources, so they can't really say yes that much. But if you change that approach, you become more a facilitating IT department, and you can actually help the business as well. And the business needed to change the approach as well to make sure that they understood that they should be involved all the time and not only just dropping an ID somewhere, but making sure you help and check and validate your own ID as well through design thinking. So a lot of stuff gradually changes inside an organization in a process like that.
Okay. So I'm interested to, I guess, dig in a little bit deeper, if you don't mind, because it's not easy for the IT department just to change the mindset like that. Who in the organization really drove this change? Who was able, the CTO, the CIO, who do you think was the most effective person or office to be able to actually drive this change? And stay on top of it, right? Because you probably have to have multiple restarts in large organizations. It just is not going to happen in one swoop.
Yeah, so in this situation, there was an innovation manager who actually started and initiated the change, very talented and high energy IT manager as well, who understood that he needed to change. And when you look at a lot of research done, if you look at Gartner's bimodal IT data, you see that a lot of IT managers and CIOs are familiar with the fact of bimodal IT, but also the way to change an IT department and transform it into, a yes-saying organization. So they knew they needed to change, but they didn't really know how to do that. And that's where we helped. And that's why when you put the different departments together in a positive vibe, under the vision of that innovation manager, that was, I guess, the actual energy that drove the this project and that result, and changed the organization with that as well.
So in this case, the innovation manager was your champion.
Yeah, that's correct. Together with an ambassador from the business side as well, we had a manager who was in charge of a specific business unit, who understood that he needed to be a little bit more patient and try to understand what the actual pain was, that the reason was why initially they weren't really that eager in changing that much. What you really need is a positive vibe on all ends as well. But that really helped as well. So those two people were, in my eyes, both very much champions.
As far as how evolved is the concept of no code, where would you put it from, like from 0 to 10? How close are you, or is the industry, from getting to where you think it can get?
There are two ways to approach that question. One is where I think we are at right now, and where, let's say, the bigger audience think no code and low code is, and especially no code. People expect us to be, let's say, in a scale of 10, to be at 2 or 3 right now. But in that same scale, we are actually at an 8 or a 9 already. People expect no code to be used for very simple applications, but we are already at a stage where you can build very much complex applications with a no code platform like BettyBlocks. People are very much surprised that they are able to do that. So those are, of course, two ways to approach it. But if you would ask me where we're currently at, I would say a 3 or a 4 right now. And that's more because I know what's still ahead of us as well. So there is so much more to do besides just dragging and dropping flows and actions and UIs as well. We are building on a big and bigger library of default features, but also default and standardized applications. So what you're looking at is not only speeding up development ground up, but using and reusing parts of applications and combining and compiling those together. And that's probably where the next step of no coding will actually where it will be, because if you build something from scratch very fast, that's of course very interesting. But if you don't need to develop half of your application anymore because you can reuse it from other applications or from a library, that's where it becomes even more powerful, and that's where we're working on right now. And to expand that library, making sure that people don't really need to build stuff anymore. And that's where one of the big differentiators is between low and no code. If you combine code, because low code still contains a lot of code, it's very difficult to combine that. And there's a lot of manual labor that you need. But if you go to no code, it is as simple as you expect it to be. You just have one block here and one block there, and you can automatically combine that without thinking about how to combine that. And that's where the actual next step is going to be. And I know a lot of people will be very happy with that. And that's why I think it's something around a 4 right now. But even then, when looking at AI and other stuff, there's so much great stuff on the road ahead that I'm very enthusiastic and positive about, let's say, the next 10 years of no coding.
It's not a short-term trip for sure. This is like a really off, probably, or wild question. Do you think blockchain has a place in actual software development, in the functionality of software development? Of course, building blockchain is software, but can it become, like, you know, you talked about libraries, right? Can libraries actually be managed over blockchain?
I'm not sure if they need to be. The power of blockchain is, of course, a decentralized ledger somewhere. If you want to implement blockchain in a good way, you need to have the need to do stuff like that. And I'm not sure if there is in software development. Of course, blockchain, when looking at it from a technical point of view, it's just a way to store stuff and a very innovative and a very awesome way as well. So it's just one of the blocks or one of the components that we use inside software development, same as with AI, same as with voice stuff as well. So it's one of the services that we use. If you look at Ethereum to manage contracts as well, that could be a little bit more interesting as well than just blockchain. But then again, it's just part of a great tool set and a great library of things that we can use. But there are a lot of other stuff. There's a lot of other great stuff as well out there.
Be kind of interesting is if that would be also a library, just like you said, smart contract management, product manager or somebody can build into the app, dragging and dropping it.
Yeah, and we are actually doing research on that as well. We have done some proof of concept for clients of us to use Betty Blocks in cooperation with blockchain technology. And everything we build is in tests like that will be automatically freely available in our block store as well. And that's what I just stated as well, is right. That's the probably the most underestimated power usage of a no-code platforms, is that you have a big library of pre-built stuff that you're very easy to use. And one of those items can be a contract.
You already have half of the concept in the name anyway. Betty Blocks and blockchain.
Yeah, that could be a great combination.
What's on your plate, the big things on your plate right now?
We just moved, so I'm happy to remove that from my to-do list and add it to, and remove that from my bucket list as well. So happy to focus on what we're good at, and that's in building a great company and great platform. So when looking at the product and platform, the block store and the library that I just mentioned is a big piece of what we do and what we are continuously improving and developing. When you look at the vision of our product, our biggest theme is what we call developer happiness. So that citizen developer or experienced developer should be very happy and very pleased with using Betty Blocks on a day-to-day basis. It's the tool you use 8 hours a day or maybe longer. So it's the devil is in the detail for that. And that's why we listen to our users all the time and make sure we don't add big features all the time, but make sure on a day-to-day basis we build our product and improve our product at a more detailed level to make all of our developers happy as well. When looking at our organization, we just opened up a second office in on the East Coast in Atlanta as well. So that was a big step for us, and we are growing the team over there. We are looking to open up a new sales office in the APAC region as well. That's an important new region where we're focusing on in 2018. Our first region was Western Europe, and we are investing in that as well. Our company culture is a way for us to differentiate. We build a great office, and we have an excellent and very fun team to work with. And we hope that it shows in the product, and it shows on our on social media and on our website as well, and that people really embrace the way we try to do stuff. So really remove the IT, the technical technology part out of IT, and make sure that software development becomes available for a broader audience, and that a lot of people have fun doing that. So fun is an important word for us.
Yeah, and I mean, I can tell you, I saw a picture of one of your office, or was it the old office, with all the plants in it, and I just loved it. That is so amazing and so unique. You go to some of the best, nicest design buildings, at least in the US that I know of, and you know, other parts of the world as well, and they pay the least amount of attention to what's inside the building and the environment that the with the right type of lighting and like plants make a huge difference. So I was so happy to see that you're really putting a focus on that and promoting it in the office.
Yes, it's a room and a part of our office that we call the jungle, which is a very inspiring place to work, and we think it's a very healthy place to work as well. So there's probably a lot of oxygen in the air. So work should be fun, but of course we like to work hard as well. With our new office, I think we have created a great vibe and a great place to work. And it helps us to grow our company as well.
Teams that have fun are a lot more productive in whatever they do. I mean, it's not about working long hours. It's about really being passionate and having fun doing it. So I think that's it. That's an awesome formula.
One of the greatest features that we have added are probably built in a couple of days. And the most simplest feature sometimes takes weeks to develop. But it sometimes it just takes the touch of a genius or a small spark. To make sure that you create something in a very short period. And that's a lot of fun to do, and you need to create a great environment to do stuff like that.
I'm really excited about BettyBlocks and look forward to seeing you move all the way up to 10. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.